Tonight we're looking at churches in the 7th and 9th centuries. Right here you've got the Council of Nicaea and the saint and image worship. What happens at the Council of Nicaea? This is the second time they meet there. They are now able to venerate. You know what the word, if you have a Catholic background, you know what the word venerate means. They now are venerating images. In other words, before you worship something, it's supposed to be made holy by the church. That's what the word venerate means. And the Catholic Church started, so now they're not only worshiping images, but they're quote-unquote making them holy. And that is a false teaching that was developed at the Council of Nicaea. It gets frustrating because the Catholic Church is now in the 700s. Now you are not allowed to oppose them. And you say, tonight we're going to look at the Waldensians. You say, well, the Waldensians, don't those go back to the 120, the first century and the second century? Yes, they do, but now they have been a force in the mountains and they're starting to get the state church's attention. And now the hunting and the first assault happens with them where the Catholics come up to them. I'll show you the area. But as far as we're going to learn about a Baptist people group tonight, the Waldenses, okay? So as we look at this, there's three places of Bible-believing Baptists, and we hit a couple of weeks ago Maywin Sukkot, or the real St. Patrick, probably one of the greatest church planters in history, a Baptist preacher, and how he reached Ireland, and Ireland becomes a lighthouse for the world. And so at this place, it lasts for 700 years. 700 years. Until the Catholic Church puts it out. This is a hot spot of biblical Christianity and church planting. Another place is going to be Asia Minor. And Asia Minor, this is where Paul was planting churches. This is Turkey. And I showed you a big map here of Armenia. In Asia Minor, this would change in 1453 with the fall of Constantinople to the Ottoman Empire with Mohammed II. Now, you say, what's the big deal about this? Well, in 1453, this is the Roman Empire, and when the West falls to the Visigoths and the Vandals in 476, Constantine had moved the capital from Rome about 100 years before that over here to Constantinople. And for 1,000 years, it stayed the Byzantine Empire, the empire in the West, what we would call the Roman Empire. It stayed there, and it's Catholicism and all that. Well, the Paulicians, remember, are in this area. And they're following the Apostle Paul and planting churches. And in the fall of it, in 1453, when the Ottoman Empire comes through, they're going to chase all of the Paulicians with the Greek texts into Europe. And then God's getting ready. This is 1453 that we're looking at. In about 200 years, the King James Bible is going to come online. God's going to use those and Erasmus and men like that, and we'll get into that. But that's a very substantial year as far as all the Muslims chase the Bible-believing Christians out of this area as they go west. So that's just a quick look there. So Asia Minor is a hot spot because of the Paulicians until 1453. Then the third place of Bible-believing Christians at this time frame in the 7th, 8th, and 9th century is going to be the Alps. And this is Switzerland here, and this is northern Italy, and we're going to talk about this area right around in here. See the boot? And you've got they start out as the Vaudois in the first century, and then they become, let me just show you a few things here. The Vaudois are called the people of the valley. The valley dwellers. As soon as Constantine starts persecuting the Christians in 313, the Edict of Milan, no more persecution, and then he does that to join the Roman Empire together. Christianity will help me bring the Roman Empire. The Donatists start standing against him. He gets tired of that. And in 331, he issues an edict of persecution. Anybody who's not falling in line, isn't that funny? The same guy that stops the persecution is the same guy 20 years later that's going to start it up again. And Constantine starts persecuting the Donatists, and then Augustine will come on the line, and now you're not allowed to rebaptize. The Vaudois, as people in Italy started headed to the mountains, and they started heading up to the Alps, they started calling these people the Vaudois or the Valdese, and that is the valley dwellers, or the low life. people that dwell in the valleys. Where do we get the word vaudeville? How do we describe Hollywood, low life? We get it from same word, the Vaudois or the Valdese. They are people of the valley, and they were also known as the Waldenses. They're known also as the Waldenses, and then they're known as the Leonists if they were over in France in the French Alps, and the poor men of Lyon. Here it is in Italy. This is a blow-up of it. Just wanted to show it to you, and I saw a picture on a wall that was painted really well. I kind of liked that, so I took a picture, and that is what we would call the Piedmont, and the area below the Alps in northern Italy, and that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the people of the valley. Now, when you look at it, to understand this area a little bit, first of all, Ephesians 3:21 says, "Unto him, unto Jesus, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." The Waldensians are the largest group, the largest Baptist people group in Baptist history. And keep in mind something, even though the Catholic Church and its bad text is getting corrupt and it's evil and it's killing people, there are Bible-believing Christians and good text that are standing by the faith. Jesus said that the church would be throughout all ages. In other words, there's always been a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody described the Reformation. Martin Luther, he discovered the gospel. Martin Luther didn't discover the gospel. The church Jesus promised to build, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church has never been extinguished. The church has been suppressed. The church has been oppressed and persecuted, but the church has never, Jesus didn't start the church and then it died while the Catholic corruption, and then you get to the 1500s and then Martin Luther. No, that's a wrong way to think. There were plenty of Baptist people groups that were holding true to the Word of God. The Waldensians is one of them. And the church that Jesus started, the gates of hell, cannot prevail against it. Okay? Jesus did, now here's what I'd like you to think about. Jesus did not start a whole bunch of different types of churches. Jesus started one type of church. Jesus didn't start a church for liberals, and then he didn't start a church for worldly people, and then he didn't start a church for those that just have to have it the Bible way. Jesus didn't do that. Would you please remember something? Jesus started one type of church, one type, that would be built on his salvation, receiving him as Savior, and it would be built on the preaching of his word. Okay? He did not start, you say, but oh, there's so many different types of churches. Would you please keep in mind, Jesus didn't start them all. Jesus didn't found them all. He started one type of church, and that type of church has been the church that has made it throughout the ages. Now, the Vaudois, they believed salvation by grace. They believed baptism by immersion upon a profession of faith. They rejected infant baptism. If you were baptized as a baby, they rejected it. They rejected the baptism of anyone coming from the mother of harlots or her offspring. They believed that the Bible is without error and it is our only authority. They believed in the Trinity of the Godhead. They believed in the sinful state of man. They believed in free salvation by Jesus Christ, and they believed faith working by love. Okay, somebody said these are called Vaudois and the Waldenses. How come they're not called Baptists? Okay, everybody just think with me just for a second. If you transported somebody from time to now and they believed all of this right here, what would you call them? A Baptist. Somebody said, well, where's the name Baptist? We tell what they are by what they believed. That's why we call them a Baptist people group. In this time frame, the Bible is outlawed. What would you think of your Bible if every time you read it, your life was at risk? And you have a wonderful copy of it, right? You can read it anytime you want. Nobody's going to come in and bust your door down and take you to court and then torture you until you admit what they want you to admit. Would you please remember something? Vaudois, people of the valley. The people of the valley. This is the name given to them, poor men of Lyons. They may have been poor, but nobody calls them. These are all names given to them by their enemies. This is their persecutors calling them this. This is the Valdez, the lowlife, the Vaudois, the people who run to the mountains, the people that we can't conquer. This is the titles that are given to them. But what they believed the same thing we believe. They hold to the Bible as the only authority. They believe the same thing we do. That's very important. That's very important to understand, because you're going to see more people that are not called Baptist. Baptist is a nickname and a term of degradation and making fun of. It's a slang term. You stinking Baptist. You rebaptizer. You Anabaptists. It's a name that it's a name. The all of these names. You Paulicians. You followers of Paul and all of them. Okay, they didn't call themselves that. Their enemies did. They go back to the second century. They copied and preserved the scriptures. Many of them, they laid the groundwork for the Reformation that would come in the 1500s. This painting was on a wall that was huge. I took this picture, and if you were standing at the base of the Alps, somebody painted this, and they said, okay, this is kind of be what you would see, and you see the little village there, and you see how big it is. When you look at Turin, or Torino, which is nowadays, these are the mountains, and there's a valley here, and there is a valley here, and these are the mountains. If you took this same map, I'm just going to give you several ways of looking at it. This was from the Waldensian Museum in North Carolina. If you've never been there, it's in Valdez, North Carolina. I've been there twice. It's beautiful. All these pictures that you'll see, I'll tell you about them. But this man, this realtor, this multimillionaire, recreated the pictures that you're going to see of the Pastor's College, and he actually went there. There's a lot of caves over in the mountains. He went over there in this one cave, measured, took pictures, and built a scale model of the exact cave. I'm talking had rocks shipped in and everything so that we could go in there, and I can't remember how many tons of rebar he used, but he built the whole cave out of concrete and then put rocks around it, and it was fantastic. This is the where the Waldenses were, the valley here. Here's another way of looking at it. This is more of a topographical map, and this is raised with satellite and stuff. This is Turin, and here's one valley, and here is one of the other ones that you saw. And the places that they lived, the Waldensians lived in this area here, in the mountains. Down here were the Jesuits and the Catholics with the armies that would try to come up. And if I showed you one more picture, all of the Waldensians, they protected their families. They were in the mountains. They knew how to put encasements up. They knew how they were in places, you know, the person, remember the snowball fights? The person on the high ground, they had the advantage. The Waldensians knew that too, and just a few archers could literally keep armies of several thousands very occupied, and they couldn't get to them. They would come after them, but they're now starting to get the attention of the Catholics. And so this is just the Vaudois, the people of the valley. This is their symbol. They used this. This is one, and this is the other. You'll notice, first of all, the word Lux Lucet in Tenebris. That's Latin for the light in the darkness. And they knew through the dark ages that they were to be a light, just like a church is supposed to. We're supposed to shine the light. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And they believed, the Waldensians believed, that they were supposed to be a light, taking the Word of God, which is a light, and they were supposed to covertly and quietly, and they did. They were an incredible force that took it all through Europe, and as they risked their lives every time they went soul winning. They would always go out two by two, one experienced man and one inexperienced man. They had a cart that they would push. It would have goods on it. And when somebody would come up and say, "Oh, I'd like to buy that," then they would see if the opportunity was right, and they would then offer them to read the scriptures to them. They would say, you know, they would sell jewelry sometime. One of the stories goes, one of the Waldensians would be in the house, and the lady buys the pearl, and he said, "You like pearls? Well, would you like the I have a pearl that's worth more than that. And then he would show her the parable of the pearl of great price. Then he would show her salvation. But they were always working covertly. They were always working quietly out, reading the scriptures. Keep in mind, to read the Bible's against the law. These are the dark ages. So they believed that a church was supposed to be a light shining in the darkness, always standing on the Word of God, and the Word of God is the basis. Notice the seven stars there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those seven stars are the seven stars of the Church of Revelation, and they believed that was them saying, we go all the way back to the apostles. We go back to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and we believe that we go all the way back. And they knew their roots were with the apostles. So there it is, the Vaudois, the people of the valley, people of the book. They were also called people of the book. You say, how come? Sometimes when they would break into the Vaudois meetings, they were called the people with the book on their lap. Where's your Bible now? It's on your lap. The people of the book. It was so amazing as far as the people of the book, the people of the valley, these Waldensians that would move this way and become the Begards and the Pecards, and they would move this way. The blue, the Paulicians would move this way, and next week we'll look at the Albigensians, and they're going to be over here. The way they would use the Bible, and they would commit, they loved the scriptures. They could repeat entire books and sometimes the whole New Testament. By the time a child was 12 years old, most of them could quote the New Testament. As they got older, some of them, well, you know, you say, how could that be? Well, that's before TV and video games, and they occupied their time. Look, it was the Waldensians that established the Christian tradition. Do you know why we teach our kids to read? So they can read the Bible. You don't want somebody illiterate. You don't want, we teach our kids to read. The whole reason, that's reason for Christian education, so that they can read the Bible for themselves. And they can have that. The Waldensians have always pushed that. Get the Word of God into the kids. Have them memorize the Bible. Families in the Waldensian communities, in the little towns, families were assigned New Testament books to memorize. This family in the church, you're going to take the book of Titus, and you're going to take the book of Ephesians, and you're going to take the book. They were assigned books to memorize. Because many times their scriptures would be raided when the armies would come on them, and they would take their Bibles, and not only if any of them got killed, the armies were always ordered to find every book that they could find and burn it. And as these Waldensians, they would then regather after the persecution, and they would say, all of our Bibles just got burned. We need to recreate it. So can this family here please stand up and quote? And then they would rewrite it out. Keep in mind, there was no printing press. Everything that they had. You know how long it took to do a whole Bible? It took 10 months for one man to copy all day long the Scriptures. It took 10 months to make a Bible. To make one. And then to hide the scripture, the Waldensians started this, and I'll show you the homes where they were at. The homes where they were at, the ladies would take the pages of scripture and roll it in the bread to hide it. And then they would put the pages in the bread in the oven. The soldiers would come through, wreak havoc, and then they'd pull the bread out of the oven. Break the bread of life, and there were the scripture pages. They had all types of ways of keeping the Word of God alive. They memorized it. Just beautiful stories. Just beautiful stories. By their testimony of their greatest enemies, Rainerius Seco was a Albigensian for 14 years. He was one of them. He went to their church for 14 years, and then he turned. And he turned all of them in, and he became an inquisitor. Can you imagine somebody that you went to church with for 14 years helping your church get hunted down, and then he's not only turning them in, he's also the one doing the torturing. It was by his words, this is Rainerius Seco of the Sects of Modern Heretics, done in 1254. He said, by his own finding, he was the one that would disgustingly torture them. And I think he was a demon-possessed man. And no, I can't think. There's one other man that we're going to read about in history that's a traitor that I think goes beyond Benedict Arnold. You understand? I think Rainerius Seco goes beyond Benedict Arnold as far as to turn Christians in and then torture them and in some cases kill them. He said, their main error is that they say they are the Church of Christ because they observe both in word and deed the doctrine of Christ and the gospel and of the apostles. Their second error is that all vices and sins are in the church, and listen to this, and that they alone live righteously. He does say by his own testimony, he said these are humble, truthful, self-sacrificing Bible Christians. You say, when the Dominican monks were killing the Christians, they were saying their charge is they believe Jesus is the Son of God and they're preaching the Bible, and that's why they would kill them. I think that's demon possession. All right, but by the words of their own enemies, I'm not going to read it all. It says here that scarcely anyone in the church but themselves preserved the evangelistic doctrine, that they are the true poor in spirit and suffer persecution for righteousness and faith, that they are the church of Jesus Christ. And I could go on here. Let me see here that the Pope, this is their error. They believe the Pope is the head of all errors. They despise all the statutes of the church because they are heavy and numerous. That no one is greater than another in the church. That's an error. They believed that. That's a good thing. They believed that no one ought to bow the knee before a priest. And they would quote Revelation. Remember how the angel told John, see, you don't do this. Remember when John bowed down? And what did the angel say? See, you do it not. You worship God. And to bow down to the Pope and kiss his ring or kiss his toe or whatever they do. They said that's wrong. Nobody should be doing that. These Waldensians, this is by the words of their inquisitor and by their enemy. Okay? Next, the Barbie College that I'm getting ready to show you, they had four positioned in the mountains, four of these places, and men went there for 2 years to memorize the Bible. Do you realize if you gave your life, you're in a Waldensian community, now if you're going to give your life to pastor, you realize that your life is now on the line. So they had a place, it's called the Barbie College. Barba is French for pastor, okay? The College of the Barba, or the Pastor's College. They went here for 2 years to memorize Scripture. They had to memorize the book of Matthew, they had to memorize Romans, and they had to memorize parts of the Pauline epistles. They also had to do two other things to become a pastor. They had to learn a trade, and they had to study two more languages, Italian, and then the Italian Romance, the French language. They had to learn another language, memorize the Bible, and learn a trade while they were at this college. It was up in the mountains. I'll show you one where one's originally set. It's very rugged territory. However, here's one. This is one this is the Waldensian Museum. The tiles on the roof are solid slate. They're slate stone. They normally did not wear out until the house caved in. Okay? but here, this is an exact replica of the Barba College that this realtor saw over in the Waldensian Valley. And, of course, that's Brother Hollinger there. And here's another picture as you go up. They were not huge buildings, but do you see how small the doors are? See how narrow the doors are? Okay, they were unusual. The walls were probably around 2 feet thick of the rock. When you look here, there's no mortar, okay? There's no mortar in between the stones. All the stones are put there. They're plate rocks. This is in the Swiss Alps. It's intended. The weather up there, it was rugged. In most of the Swiss Alps, the snow is on the mountains, 8 months out of the year. If you went up high enough, the snow was year round. It was a rugged place. It was a rugged country, obviously cold. The animals were always kept in. There was always three stories. That down below was where the animals were kept. It was where the stalls were. They always kept the animals in the lowest part so that what? The heat would come up. The heat would come up. Then you had the place of the kitchen and the place of the studying and then the places where they slept. Sometimes it got so cold they would sleep on the straw with the animals. They would sleep down there sometimes. But anyways, this is they also had the small, very small living quarters. And once again, this is where they went to study and this is where they went to memorize scripture. When you walked in the door, that's a stone slab table with the two candles, with the Bible there, and that's where they would study and memorize the scriptures. If you went over to the door and you turned around, that's what the room looked like. There was a hearth over here, and I should have taken a picture of it. There was a hearth over against that wall, and that's where they told us the story, how the Waldensians would put the leaves of paper into the bread, and that's where they cooked the bread, was over on that stove there. But this is very simple. You see the stone here, and then the stone that everything's out of rock. There is an original Barba College in its, you see how hilly it is? That's on the side of a hill. That's one that's actually over there in the Waldensian Valley. That's over there over in Italy. That's how rugged it is, and obviously it's not used anymore. But that just shows you the territory. The Chiesa di Latana, which is the church in the cave. This was one of the caves. This was not the only cave that the Waldensians met in. There were many caves throughout. This one was unique, and this was a place of several caves were places of execution. This one was, let me show it to you first. This is the cave that the man had recreated. He had all those rocks brought in with cranes. And right here, if we come in a little closer, as you walked up to the cave, this is how you got in. You got on your hands and knees, and you went into the cave through there. They put a door, okay, for Americans. They put a door in there that would open so that, you know, a lady didn't have to get down on her hands and knees. But the way the cave was originally done was you entered through this spot right here, okay? You crawled in and taken pictures there. When I came into the cave, This realtor, he did an amazing job. He measured this cave, the bumps, all of it, and then came back to America and recreated it exactly to scale. When you came in the cave, I turned around and I took a picture of the door. It was dark in there. It was dark. Then, as you walked through the cave, I tried to take pictures just try. I know you need to be there, but there's another picture of a hallway. It's coming down to this area. Right there is a raised area. As you walk down the hallway, that's the raised area that the pastor would stand on in the cave and read the Bible. You say, how do you read the Bible? Right above the it was about 12 or 14 feet. There was a slit in the top of the mountain. And the light would come down when they were having, obviously on Sundays at about 11 or 12, the light would come down and shine on the pastors, on the scriptures, and he would read and he would preach. It was absolutely wonderful. When we were in there, my family and I, we sang, and it was just enough to give you goose pimples. It obviously echoed, but to have church in a cave. Now, when you came here, this is where the pastor stood. And just to show you one more thing on how big it was, this is if you turned around. See, there's the wooden door to go outside, but you had to crawl on your knees through here. And then once you got through this space, then you stood up, and then you could walk. Okay? Just to try to show you what it was like to be in the cave. There's me backing up, and I took another picture. Can you see I'm trying to give you a perspective on it? Okay. All right. We're trying to do that. And there it is with the door shut and looking at the only hole that they could crawl through. What? Okay. Leroy. The only hole that they could crawl through to get through to the cave. Peter Waldo was the 1200s, came along in the 1200s. No, the Vaudois or the Waldenses were not named after Peter Waldo, but they gladly accepted him as their leader. Peter say the Waldensians and the Valdese and the Vaudois, they go back further than Peter Waldo. However, Peter Waldo was outlawed by the Catholic Church because he took and he translated the Bible in Romand, which was a mixture of Middle English and the Old French. English is coming along. Our King James Bible is going to come along about 400 years after that. No biggie, praise the Lord, I can't read Romand. However, Peter Waldo became a leader in the Waldensians and outlawed by the Catholic Church. There would be many slaughters to this Vaudois and the Waldensian people. You say, I told you before, this is the largest people group in our Baptist history study. In their time frame, there would be, most say, right around 25 million slaughtered and killed. When they would come through, they were first able to defend their cities, and they always defended their women and their children as the Catholics and the armies would come through the valleys, and they had defenses set up. By the time the 1200s started hitting, the Crusades had grown cold, and they were using the Crusaders to come through the mountains and hunt the Christians and the atrocities. Now when you travel through this area, there's markers. This many Christians were killed here of the Waldensians. This is a place where I almost put pictures on here, but it was, some of them were too rough. The pictures, they would show that they would take the babies and just cut them in half and dash them up against the rocks and smash their brains. If they were Christians, if they would take them, they would take them and literally push them off precipices. And you see where the mountains where they were at, they were in high areas. They would literally just whole towns. They would take and bar the churches, bar them if they could find them anywhere. In this particular cave, they found out where they were having church, and that little slit that was up in the top that the pastor used to read his Bible, they lit a fire up there, and they would fan the smoke down in there. And eventually, as they came out that hole, remember the hole I showed you? As they came out that hole, you had to get down on your hands and knees to come out the hole. Then they were executed there, and then they would drag the body and execute. And there was many Christians killed there. Many Christians killed from the Vaudois, from the Waldenses. Then finally the Waldensian massacre in 1655. Horrible atrocities. They would take the people and put their hands around their ankles and tie them in a ball and then roll them down the mountain. And they would do that. How in the world people could hurt other people that way is absolutely, when you read of these, you can read about in the Cross and Crown. This is the Trail of Blood book. In this book, I've heard Christians say, Waldensians are in this book, and this book is a book of heresy. Listen closely, this is why they say that. When you go to, they go to Italy now, and there's Waldensian churches over there. They are nothing like what they used to be. After 1655, they gave in. And they started sending their preachers to the Geneva School, and they started learning Calvinism. They started baptizing babies. When you go to a Waldensian church today, it is nothing like what the Waldensians were before the 1600s. Okay, I had a great evangelist I love. I've directed songs for him. He's in heaven now. He came up to me. I was reading this, and this is what he said. He says, "That Trail of Blood?" I said, "Yes, sir. Sure is." He said, "That's heresy right there." He was taught at a Southern Baptist university. He was taught that the Waldensians are criminals, and he thought that when you read about the Waldensians, that you understand that they're nothing. As a matter of fact, the man that did the Waldensian Museum in North Carolina, they're real proud that they baptize babies. They don't know their heritage. He had not seen Waldensian history before they turned, before they got tired of the persecution and capitulated with the Catholics. And he literally looked, and I said, "See here in these documents." You say, "Who do you read?" J.A. Wiley. You can read, there's a lot of good authors that did the research. J.A. Wiley and the Churches of the Piedmont, Israel of the Alps, and Alexis Mustin, and things like that. There's good books you can read that show what they believed before they turned in 1650, and after the major persecution. No, the Trail of Blood is not heresy. One of my friends, who's now in heaven, checked out every reference in this book. He went to the library, got every one of these books that they say they got all this information from, and checked every quote. and said every one of them's right. No, this book isn't heresy. If you've never read it, it's a bloody book. That's why it's called The Trail of Blood. It's wonderful. Now, let's just wrap up a few things here from our look at the Waldensians. When you study a people like this and how they were butchered, doesn't it make us feel, don't you feel blessed? For them to read the Bible in public, they were taking their hand in their own life. I can read the Bible in public anytime I want. I can pass out tracts anytime I want. Now, I don't need to obstruct traffic at the post office. It's a government place. But I can pass out tracts anywhere I want. And I can read my Bible anywhere I want. And when I start reading about these type of Christians, the Waldenses, I'm humbled. I think of how blessed I am, and I think of how weak we are, literally. We got Christians that'll quit going to church literally over nothing. My DVD player doesn't work anymore. I can't go to church. I mean, it's amazing. Them, every time they had church, they were taking their life into their own. It was against the law. That's why they met in the cave. And as I looked at it, I hope looking at our heritage, this is one Baptist people group. Started at the time of the apostles, they make it to about, we'll say the 1600s. And then they turned. They're nothing like what they used to be. But yes, there are Waldensian churches today. Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that you could...